How would you measure the blessing of God upon your life? How would you measure the presence of God with you? What would you look at to say, God has been good to me? Perhaps you'd look at good health, or great financial provision, or a general theme of peacefulness that you have known much of your life or in this season of life. How might we measure the presence of God with us as a church? Would it be in numerical growth? Would it be in meeting our budget? Certainly these are good and commendable, and we should pray for them. But is there a more foundational way for God's presence with His church to be understood? I guess you could look at the other side of the coin and ask the question, conversely, what would lead you to question whether or not God is with you? Perhaps your health or a loved one's health has taken a turn for the worse. Perhaps you've recently dealt with unexpected loss of job, or your kids or your grandchildren are having trouble in school, and you feel your hands are tied in helping them navigate these problems. How might we as a church be alarmed by the apparent absence of God's hand upon us? Would it be marked by declining attendance and not numerical growth? Would it be marked by financial trouble instead of meeting budget, being tragically or terribly far behind in budget? Or would it be unexpected facility issues that would arise and cause us difficulty in dealing with them? Well, we might measure ourselves or our church in a variety of ways related to this. But if this is how we look at and measure God's faithfulness, His presence with His people, we've missed the boat. The greatest judgment that God can bring upon a person or upon a church is not in what He does in our lives. It's in His silence towards us. What I want to argue from our sermon text this morning, quite simply, is listen to God before it's too late. Listen to God before it is too late. We're going to read from 1 Samuel 28, beginning in verse 3. We're going to see the tragic account of Saul, who had not listened to God for so long, and now it is too late. Follow along as I read 1 Samuel 28, beginning in verse 3. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either, by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servant, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, "Divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." The woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What is his appearance?" She said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what to do, what I shall do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell at once, full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, behold, your servant has obeyed you. I've taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it. And she took flour and kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. Really a pretty straightforward text, if you think about it. We're going to consider three things in regards to the absence, or to God's voice. We're going to see Saul's fear in the absence of God's voice. We're going to see sin and ignoring God's voice. And finally, we will see, finality in the departure of God's voice. First, fear in the absence of God's voice in verses 3 through 7. If you recall, last week we left the story with like a dramatic culmination still waiting. David had fled from Saul. He was in Philistia, and he had joined up with Philistine forces, kind of halfway, but still loyal to Israel. But now the Philistines are ready to wage war on Israel, and David's kind of in a bind. What am I going to do? And then you just get a pause. And it picks up in verse 3 of chapter 28. Well, why is this so? Verse 3 picks up reminding us Samuel had died, Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land, and now the Philistines are coming up to wage war. Well, here's what I think is happening with a sudden change in stories. I don't think it's that our author is easily distracted and just bouncing from one spot to another. But think of it more like a sporting event that is interrupted by news of something greater. So like the 1989 World Series between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland Athletics. If you remember, right before, I think it was Game 3, what happened that led to a pausing of the World Series? A mighty earthquake struck the Bay Area. So the World Series had to be paused. News stations broke into what was supposed to be coverage of the baseball game to show what was happening with this earthquake. And so it's like news coverage breaking in. There is something more dramatic happening even than Israel, even than David being allied with the enemies of Israel. And that is that the king of Israel is facing his judgment from the Lord. And what is coming to Israel will be revealed. So do you see two marks of Saul's fear in verse 5? He says, when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled greatly. And then look at what troubles Saul in verse 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. So if you pause, remember throughout much of Saul's reign over the last number of chapters over the last many years, if you were to go measure it by time, he has had zero interest in listening to God. When everything was going well, Saul was in charge, trusting in his own might and trusting that he could rule Israel according to how he thinks is best. He would mock the Lord in his disinterest and his disobedience of the Lord and his disregard for the voice of the Lord. But now, with the Philistines, when it says they took Shunem, that basically means they had cut Israel in half. And now Saul sees that things are about to get very bad. So he calls upon the Lord in this tragedy. You know, it's interesting here, Saul's fears. Sometimes our fears falling apart, or our fears coming to fruition, actually, as I meant to say it, they're a result, sometimes, not always, but sometimes of that which we trust apart from the Lord proving itself unable to be our salvation. So let me ask, we don't hear from the Lord by dreams or by Urim or by prophet. Well, we do by prophets as spoken in the Bible, but what is your interest in hearing from the voice of the Lord? None of us are kings or queens of Israel, but don't we face this temptation of pushing the voice of the Lord to the side? Of saying, I'll call on you when I have need, but I don't need you right now. Making the Lord more like an insurance agent that we call upon in crisis and not the God of the universe who commands us as his citizens. So what's your interest level in the Bible? Do you allow the Bible to shape your life, to convict you of sin, to correct your heart? Or do you actually sit in either disregard towards the Bible or in speculative judgment of the Bible? May I encourage you, allow the fears of your life that you may have carried into this room this morning to push you to God, to push you to hear His voice through His Word before it is too late. In fact, look at verses 3 and 7. In verse 3, it says, Samuel had died, Israel had mourned, and Saul had put all the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. And then verse 7, it tells us, Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Saul had obeyed the Lord in driving out those who practice divination, but he's like, I need to hear something. Bring me a medium. His obedience to the Lord was simply transactional and nothing more. Saul continues to flaunt what God has commanded, and the story now gets truly wild as we see his sin and his ignoring God's voice. So the Philistines had invaded Shunem. And now Endor, most of us probably aren't real familiar with Israelite geography at the time. Endor was actually very close to Shunem, only separated by a mile or two. And so Saul takes off his robes, takes off the things that would signify him as the king of Israel. He takes a more modest kind of a protective unit with him of just a couple of men, and he journeys under the cover of darkness to try to go see this medium in Endor. It's a middle-of-the-night covert mission. So Saul asks for this woman to divine him a spirit, to call someone from the dead because he needs to hear something. And now look at verse 10. In verse 9, the woman says to Saul, don't you know this kind of stuff's illegal? Saul has forbidden it. She doesn't realize she's talking to Saul. But in verse 10, Saul does what you would expect of Saul. He swore to her by the Lord, and he tells her, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Hear this as a warning. God will not be mocked. Saul has this transactional nature of his relationship with God. He calls upon God in his crisis. He appeals to the name of God whenever he is in a bind. And yet in all of this, he disregards God as the one who is Lord over his life, as the one who has the authority to determine where he should go, the authority to determine what his life should be. God is nothing more than a good luck charm to him. And he is trying to find that good luck as bad luck surrounds him in the Philistines. God will not be mocked. Friends, either you listen to the Lord or you do not. Halfway trust in the Lord, halfway listening to God's voice and his word, leads to whole disaster of faith. Imagine you are at the beach this summer, and you're trying to build a sandcastle. I'm not an expert in building sandcastles, but I understand you need to get a right mixture of sand and water. So you go down to the water to get a bucket full of water, and you scoop it up, but then you walk back to where the sand is that you're going to build the castle, and you get there, and you turn it to dump over, and nothing but a drop or two drops out. Then you look in your bucket, and you see it has a hole in it. Friends, our souls, our faith in the Lord are the similar thing. Halfway faith leads to whole disaster. Now, don't hear me saying that our faith is reliant upon our strength. But we must have, even if it is little faith, complete trust in our God and resolve to listen to His Word. In fact, look at verses 11 to 15 as we continue on. The woman said to him, "Okay, who do you want me to bring up for you?" And he says, "Bring up Samuel for me." I don't know if the woman, pause here, this is interesting. I don't know if the woman was kind of a charlatan, like somebody that would take advantage of people, and she really couldn't do this, because she seems surprised when Samuel shows up. It's like, if this is your job, you should be able to do it, right? But I don't know. But anyway, verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed his face to the ground and paid homage. Now let's continue to see what Samuel says to Saul in verses 16 to 20, or 15 to 20. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I've summoned you to tell me what I shall do." And Samuel said, "Why do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and giving it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hands of the Philistines." So Samuel says this to Saul, and twice now Saul has recounted this great fear that the Lord is not with him. The Lord is not there. He is not present. Saul seeks wisdom, and Samuel says, "Well, this is what I told you would happen." Now, I will not presume to this to be the case with all of us. But if you were to survey your past, survey times when it felt like my faith isn't really growing, my faith seems stagnant, prayers I voice, they come out of my mouth kind of weak and they don't even get to the ceiling before they just seemingly evaporate, much less reaching the God of heaven. This isn't the case always, but consider this for your own self-examination this morning by the Spirit's work in you. More often than not, God's apparent distance from us is due to our distance from hearing from Him in His Word. How often do we say, "God, I just really like to hear from you in this moment. I'm facing this crisis I'm walking through." And we make little use of His Word. We have little interest in hearing what He would have to say, but in fact, we just want Him to say what we want Him to say. There are certainly dark nights of the soul where God seems distant. We should bear one another's burdens and prayerful care for one another in those dark nights of the soul. But let those dark nights of the soul not be marked by unopened Bibles that refuse to hear from our Lord. Many times the Bible, it's not that the Bible is too hard for us to understand, it's that we don't want to understand it. Or the parts we do understand, we don't want to obey or align our lives with. Rather, we should read the Bible humbly. We should receive it prayerfully. If you're new to the Bible, start with more easily digestible parts, maybe like a gospel, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Let us not believe the lie that the Bible lacks relevance to the problems of today. The question many times is not, what would God have me to do? But the question that the Bible addresses is, what would God have me to think and to trust about Him? Do not believe the lie that attending church sits far lower on the priority list than many other things. Rather, each and every week we gather to do what? To hear from God's Word, because we do not want Him to become silent. We don't want to lose God's voice ministering to His people. So make church attendance a priority in your heart, because we want to hear from our God, lest we shut Him out and eventually we turn around and He has grown distant and silent due to our refusals to hear Him. Is refusing to listen to the voice of God not the single greatest sin that stretches back to our ancestors, Adam and Eve? What was the question they were asked? Did God really say? Can you trust the voice of God? This is a question that rests before all of us. This was a question that rested before Saul, and for much of his life, he said, no, I cannot. And so the Lord gave him what he wished. You don't want me, you don't get me. And he was gone. How might you resolve this morning to hear God's voice in His Word? As I mentioned, make it a top priority to gather with His people for worship and to sit under the preaching of His Word. Set apart time regularly each day. Open God's Word in an unhurried time, rather in the morning when you wake up, or maybe in the evening before you go to bed, whatever works for your schedule. Offer to meet with other Christians in the church to read through a book of the Bible together, or discuss the sermon that was just preached the Sunday before together to talk about application and ways in which God spoke to you through His Word. Dear one, is it possible, as we think about this and God's Word and its authority over us and its vital nature, that it must flow into our ears and into our minds, into our hearts, and transform us? Is it possible that you are becoming aware of the fact that you have been entirely detached from the spiritual harm that you're doing to yourself and having no interest in His Word? Last Friday morning, as I stood at the bus stop talking to other parents, we discussed all the rain that had fallen on Thursday. You remember Thursday a week ago? Parts of town got as much as 6.5 to 7 inches. One man in our neighborhood was lamenting the fact that his basement had flooded. I expressed my neighborly condolences while making sure not to offer him a helping hand. That wasn't intentional, but also I should have been thinking of that. But then I went about my business. You see, the McDonald house, our basement never floods. Our house is at the top of a hill. Our sump pump has always reliably worked well. I thought for a fleeting second as I watched my son get on the bus, you know, maybe I should check our basement before I head out the door. But I had to get going with my day. It was only a few hours later when Amanda called and told me that our basement had in fact taken on water. Ultimately, thankfully, after a thorough cleaning and running of dehumidifiers and fans, we're fine. But my worry is that some of us might think that our circumstances appear fine, when in fact they are not. Perhaps you consider yourself, your Christian life, largely healthy. Not perfect, but plugging along. You would say, God has been good to me. Life is moving at a pleasant pace. But if you have little interest in hearing the Word of God, if you have little interest in obeying the Word of God when it convicts you of sin, if you have little trust in the Word of God and the voice of God to guide you as you navigate life and to have the authority to call you to change in areas that you might not want to change, you might think things are fine, but you actually might be like Saul, and one day you will look down in the basement of your soul and find it rotted out by years of neglect as the voice of God is absent. See, deeper than a basement, Saul had summoned Samuel from the dead. For as strange as this event is, how gracious of God is it to allow us to have this encounter in His Word? This strange event that might be the means by which you are reintroduced to that familiar voice through His Word. This strange event of a man, a ghost communicating from the dead, a spirit from the dead, warning against believing God is dead by your refusal to listen to Him. Let us hear this voice before finality sets in. This is what we see thirdly here, finality and the departure of God's voice in verses 20 to 25. So verse 20, Saul fell at once, full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I've taken my life in my hand. I've listened to what you have said to me. Therefore, obey your servant. Eat some bread, that you may have strength as you go on your way." This tells us this: Saul was both filled with fear, and the woman was terrified. If you were to slowly read through this chapter, you would see this increasing crescendo of Saul's great fear at the voice of the Lord having departed from him. Is it not the kindness of the Lord to show us that the great terror of this story is not the ghost or the spirit of Samuel speaking from beyond the grave? The great terror of this story is God's voice departing from His people. Foundationally, the great sign of God's judgment upon His people is not severe wrath that would strike them down. It's actually silently leaving a people to their own devices while He departs and they don't even notice because they have no need for Him. This voice from the dead whispers to us, do not believe that you can turn God's voice on and off like a radio, always there at your convenience. No, this voice from the dead tells us, listen to the Lord before it's too late. But there's another call from the dead that this passage holds. Saul wanted answers from Samuel. He wanted information to the Lord, or from the Lord. But his problem, as Samuel diagnoses, is it's not that you lack for information, Saul. It's that you lack for communion with your God. Communion with God, this worshipful, trusting, reliant heart posture, enjoying the goodness and grace of God, that is where you never leave the voice of God. That is where you never lose the voice of God. But how is this communion, this relationship with God established? Where I hear His voice. Maybe you say, I open up the Bible and it just seems like gobbledygook. How do I begin to hear from Him? Well, there's a very strange harbinger as this story concludes. But it is the kindness of the Lord to give it. This medium, she looks at Saul, and she tells him, you need food. He first says no, but then his servants also join and say, yeah, you need food. So she goes and she prepares a meal fit for a king. Verse 24, she had a fattened calf, and she quickly killed it. She took flour and kneaded it and baked bread for Saul. So she makes him a steak dinner. Steak and bread and whatever else she would have on it at that day. It's a meal fit for a king, but it is a meal consumed by a dead man walking. Because what did Samuel tell Saul back in verse 18 and 19? Verse 19, look at it. He says, moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. I don't know about you, but if a dead man starts talking to me and says, tomorrow you are going to be with me, that's not good news. And Saul knows this. He has a meal fit for a king, but it is consumed by a dead man walking. And then look at the very end of verse 25. After eating, it says, then they rose and went away that night. You know, there was another king that would come after Saul. another king that would have rule over Israel. He would prepare a meal for those gathered with him. And in giving this meal, this Last Supper, he showed his disciples and us that he too would depart into the night, into a certain death. Saul's communion with God being cut off was signified by the loss of God's voice and this death that he would experience. But your communion with God, our communion with God, our Father, is established in the death of another king. It's established by his voice ministering to his people by his word. It's established by him telling us, because my body is broken, because my blood is shed, you will never depart into that dark night where the voice of God is absent. He has become that king who is a dead man walking, who cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? The voice of the Father had departed from the Son, that you and I might never have to worry where his voice is. How would you measure the presence of God with his people? Would it not be in his voice ministering to and guiding his church? Dear one, if you say, I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of God before in my heart, I urge you to look upon these two kings, Saul and Jesus, the king who would come, and respond in repentance and faith and trust, saying, Jesus, all right, I follow you. You get control of it. I will follow your voice. I will listen to you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lead, I will lead. Begin to follow him. And the feast that you will eat will be a feast of his grace that nourishes your soul. And you will never be absent from hearing his voice. And you will never enter into that dark night where you know destruction awaits you. Because he has borne your destruction. And what did the voice of the one who bore our cross say to those who were gathered, dreading what had come upon him? When he was resurrected, he looked upon them and he said, peace be with you. You hear the voice of God telling you, peace be with you. Listen to God before it's too late.